This Israel Report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
It's 7:43. I'm Howard Philbin. This is your Morning Mayhem. It's 101.9 Chai FM, and we are moving to the Israel Report this morning. Momentous developments are unfolding that is in the Israel-Gaza conflict. Well, are they? Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has said that a resumption of negotiations aimed at freeing all of the hostages and ending the nearly two-year war will happen, but only under certain circumstances. Egypt, of course, is pressing Israel to accept a ceasefire, while the UK and 21 other countries have condemned Israel's new settlement project. To help us understand the strategic and diplomatic implications of all of this, we're joined by Professor Eitan Gilboa. He's from the Center for International Communications. A very, very good morning to you. Can we just start with the hostage negotiations and the war aim? So Prime Minister Netanyahu saying intimating that there is a willingness to negotiate. What is the latest with this?
On the one hand, Israel is preparing for another attack on the city of Gaza. I'm saying another because Israel was there in December 2023. But if you look at Gaza City today, you would find that many of the high-rise buildings are in place, not to speak about all the tunnels under them. So Israel, until now, has not touched that area. So the army is preparing for that attack. From the beginning, it was not clear whether or not this is just a threat to soften the positions, the negotiating positions of Hamas, or that Netanyahu is serious about taking over Gaza City. At the same time, Netanyahu is saying that Israel is prepared for a new round of negotiations, but only on a comprehensive deal which would release all the hostages and the war, and this is not clear yet. Hamas replied just a few days ago that now they are ready to accept what is known as the Witkopf idea or plan, and that was a partial solution, a partial agreement, like I don't know, 10 hostages released, and about 18, I believe, 18 dead hostages returned. About now, but Netanyahu is saying it's too late now. I insist on a comprehensive deal, and so we'll see how this is going to work. All the United States and the other mediators, Egypt and Qatar, are applying more pressure on Hamas. Warn, in fact, Hamas that it must accept a deal to release the hostages. Although it's not yet clear what kind of a deal. I've just explained the two options for negotiations. I think that if Netanyahu received a partial agreement, and there is no way of getting a comprehensive agreement, he would go even with a partial agreement. which would mean a ceasefire for 60 days.
With the idea there being to negotiate the full peace agreement or the full ceasefire during those 60 days.
Correct. So during that period of time, the idea is to negotiate the releasing of all the remaining hostages and an end to the war. And obviously, an end to the war means first and foremost the rejection of Hamas from Gaza and the beginning of rebuilding that.
How does that ever happen? You know, I can see the parties coming to an agreement around a ceasefire, the return of the hostages, the exchange for prisoners, for terrorists. All of that is actually not new territory for anybody. The new territory is Hamas saying, okay, we'll now leave Gaza. Is that ever going to happen?
It must happen. We see more and more voices coming out of Gaza, severely criticizing Hamas. People in Gaza City are worried to death about an Israeli military operation there. They don't want to move to the more southern areas where safety is more provided. And it's interesting to know that I saw yesterday people in those shelters are resisting people coming from Gaza City. And the reason for that is very simple. There is not enough room in the area as is. The conditions in those places are difficult. And the only actor responsible for all of that is Hamas. I am repeating it time and again and again.
Well, I think we have to keep repeating it, because if Hamas invaded Israel in the most brutal way, took 251 hostages, and are still holding 20 living hostages.
Correct. That's exactly the point. But sometimes I see, especially governments abroad blaming Israel for continuation of the war. Hamas is responsible for the continuation of the war, not anybody else. So so there's much pressure on Hamas, I agree, to end the war. So people are tired. The Gazans are tired. So I saw a number of people from Gaza saying the other day on television that they don't want to move again to shelter areas. They demand that Hamas ends the war, so we'll see. The next few days could be very critical in finding out whether or not one solution or another is going to happen. I believe that there's a good chance one of those proposals are going to be adopted. So Israel is saying we want a comprehensive agreement. The problem is that Hamas is not interested in a comprehensive agreement, because this would mean an end to Hamas in Gaza.
Correct.
And obviously they don't want to sign that. But so I think that the challenge is for the Arab Sunni states, who have said time and again that Hamas has to go out, to leave. So I think that it's up to them to say again and apply more pressure on Hamas, saying, okay, you will have to leave anyway, because if you stay, there's not going to be any reconstruction in Gaza, and the people are going to rebel against you. So you have to leave anyway. So why don't you leave earlier to prevent more suffering from the people you claim to be protecting?
Yeah, it's just remarkable and so frustrating. Let's just talk as well about the issues of the new settlements. Britain, France lead 21 countries in joint condemnation of what they're calling is this new settlement project. Let's just talk about this. How damaging is this diplomatically?
It is damaging. Israel is under diplomatic attack from almost every place, including states that are considered friends of Israel, including those which you mentioned, like 22 countries. I think it was a mistake to announce this plan because of the overall situation and the chance to finally get an agreement to release all the hostages. I think it has to do much with domestic politics, and even more so with the upcoming elections. The person responsible for all of that is Smotrich. Mm. It's not clear whether or not his party is going to win sufficient votes to stay in the Knesset, in the parliament. So he is announcing it. I think Netanyahu is against it, and so I don't think it's going to happen.
Right.
So why to mention things that are not going to happen and are causing so much damage to Israel's diplomacy? So I'm severely criticizing Smotrich for doing something which is totally stupid, especially at this time. It's not going to happen soon, and because Netanyahu and the other parts of the coalition would don't want it to happen, but in the meantime, this has happened with this government several other times. You say something, you mention something. It is unlikely to happen, but the damage is already occurring.
So in other words, though, if it's not going to happen now, and it really just causes international outcry, could it have been deliberate?
Yes, I think.
As a reaction to many countries around the world deciding that in September they're going to recognize a Palestinian state. Could this not be a pure reaction to that?
Well, you know, perhaps Smotrich added that the plan is designed to bury the idea of an independent Palestinian state. And in certain ways, this is the case, because this particular area, if built with Israeli settlements, would connect Jerusalem to the city of Maale Adumim, but at the same time may divide the area that is supposed to be a Palestinian state. So, yes, you can say so, but even so, I believe that it is not the best way to counter the stupid statements made by several governments recognizing a Palestinian state, because it is perceived in the Middle East, and this is the point. It is perceived in the Middle East as a reward to Hamas and to terrorism. You see countries like Germany, Britain, France, Canada, Australia, sometimes they have no idea what they are talking about because they are so removed from the area and they do not understand how statements such as those are being perceived in the area. I'm not saying just Israel, in the area overall. You know, the most protected secret in the area is that none of the Arab states want to see a Palestinian state. They think a Palestinian state would be a source of trouble and not as a source for stability. They don't say so because of public opinion and other reasons. But they are looking at those Western countries making those statements in favor of a Palestinian state, and they are very angry about it.
Yeah, it's so remarkable. It is so remarkable to see, because it just it just creates the confusion that is just not necessary. I mean, when I think about this, whereas I think you are obviously right that why announce this new development outside Jerusalem, but at the same time, the fact that other countries can feel that it is their place to determine where Israel builds and what planning Jerusalem allows for and what doesn't is just an absurdity. I can't imagine, and I'm trying to even think of another situation where there is a disputed area, whether it, I don't know, Cyprus or any other area, Tibet or parts of Spain where there's disputed areas. Can you imagine another country commenting on authorization to build? I cannot think of one example, and there are many disputed areas around the world.
You're absolutely right about that. And sometimes, I'm an expert on international relations, and sometimes I cannot understand those moves. I talk to people in these countries. They are so confident that they are doing good, that they are promoting peace, that they are fighting terrorism. But what they say and what they do is causing exactly the opposite. The opposite. So you have good intentions. You think that you adopt the right policy. But as proven time and again, especially in the Middle East, which defies Western logic, and I think even in your own program, I've stated it time and again that the West does not understand. The Middle East completely does not understand, and I can see it not just with the Palestinian. See how the West has been handling relations with Iran, and you can really feel that they really don't know what they are doing. They don't understand what is happening here. And you talk about people who are graduates of universities and are supposed to be experts on the Middle East, to know the culture here, the politics here, the meaning of honor here. And still you get those kinds of statements and actions that are causing exactly the opposite of what is intended by those who do them.
That is all we have time for, but a very interesting conversation, Professor Gilboa. Thank you, as always, for bringing us the Israel Report this morning. It is about to go 8 o'clock.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.